Well, you know, on Mother's Day, we had roses for the moms. We had chocolate-covered strawberries. We had food. We had everybody going handshakes and everything like that. For you dads, you know what we got? Good job. There you go. You know what? In a lot of ways, this is guys, you know, we say, well, that's okay. We don't need this type of thing. We don't need the affirmation of what we're doing because we know what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. But that's actually, my message sort of says the opposite today, and I'm realizing that one of the things we really do need to do is the job that you guys do as fathers is really important. And I want to say, keep it up, press on, that even that video of making sure that the kids get here and that something's going on in their life is very important. And I'm going to tell a couple stories, but I just got done out of a camping trip with my kids who are now, they ought to have a grandfather's day, okay, because this is Father's Day, but I'm now at the grandfather's stage of things. And it was just, it's nice, okay, just to be with family and spend time together and hang out, even if it's camping. And my bones are getting a little old to get down on the ground there. But it's good to hang out together and spend time together and encourage one another. And that's actually what I want to talk about today. You know, James Kennedy is the man that wrote The Evangelism Explosion. And he, I think he was on to something when he started the outline. Because he started off with just two phrases. The first phrase was talk. And the second phrase was spiritual talk. And that may sound like nothing to you, but there's a lot of wisdom in just those two phrases, talk and spiritual talk. I know most of us, we probably heard it in the video there, it's hard to get into spiritual talk with people, talking about spiritual things. So you're talking to your friends or relatives that don't know the Lord, and you're trying to get over that hump. And I think every one of us have struggled with it, so much so that that's why I took the first part of his outline and just ported it into what we've been teaching here, because just to jump in is hard, but to learn how to talk, how to have conversation is very important. But the thing that surprises me, and I'm speaking to you here who know the Lord, is how hard it is for us to talk spiritual talk to one another. Have you ever felt that, where it's just difficult to just sort of get into spiritual things, and you are trying to talk about maybe biblical values or something about the Lord, and you just sort of find it sort of catches in your throat? I remember a time I was actually going to a Bible school on the East Coast, and I pulled up into the front driveway, and there was two other people. We were in a cab of a truck. And somebody had shared something that was pretty, you know, vulnerable. And we were just all sitting there in the cab of the truck, and I felt this little prodding in my heart saying, well, you ought to pray about that. You ought to pray about that. And I'm like, you know, it just sort of sticking in my throat here. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, here I am. I'm going to Bible school. I'm sitting with two other people that believe in God, sitting in the same cab. I'm sitting in front of the entire building, and I'm having a hard time saying, let's pray. And it just has always stuck in my head that there is something that innately fights this transition from the physical world that we're in to actually this little, like, you know, perspective. And finally, I just sort of squeaked out this little, like, you know, well, maybe we should pray about it. And both people just immediately, it was like somebody popped a cork and said, yeah, that's what we ought to do. We'd all been struggling with this, but it just took one person to say, let's pray and let's talk about it before we got going. So I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 10. In verse 25, we are going to do this the old-fashioned way today. We're going to look at a Bible. There's going to be no PowerPoint or anything like that. And it's just going to be one verse. And I'll tell you point blank what I want at the end of this, and we'll talk through it. All I want to do is encourage you to talk about values and spiritual things as a family and as friends. That's it for today. I want you to get the motivation to actually move from one spot to the other where you can actually say, let's talk about spiritual things. Wherever you're at, whoever you are, just make that move from one side to the other. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says this, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want that soak. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these words would somehow resonate with us wherever we're at. Lord, some of us are here today, and we're not even sure that we believe you exist. There's some here, Lord, that have dedicated their entire life to living for you. And yet we both struggle sometimes with the same thing of how do we actually talk about these values? How do we talk about those things that really concern us most? And how can we encourage one another when we need encouragement in a world that oftentimes, Lord, is just cruel and hurtful? I pray that you'd be opening up our minds and our hearts that we could be willing to be brave enough to cross that divide. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I want you to think through this verse. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this verse is asking us just to do two things. That's it. First is get together. Spend time with one another. The second thing is to encourage one another. Everything else just is an adjective or an adverbial phrase that relates to that thing. Okay, that's it. Get together and encourage one another. So if we get together and we don't encourage one another, we haven't fulfilled this verse. And if we haven't gotten together, it's impossible to fulfill the verse because you can't encourage one another because you're not talking to one another. So he's saying, let's get together and let's encourage one another. So the question I had to ask myself is, what is encouragement? What does it mean to actually encourage a person to step up? To what is the result that I'm looking for in a person's life when I do that? Now, there is one word that is used here in the Greek when it says to encourage one another, and that's the word parakaleo. Okay, that's the Greek word. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, even though I've got a couple Greek scholars in the audience here that we'll talk about this in a little bit, is because I want you to understand that this word seems to be pretty malleable, okay? It has a wide range of meanings. And I want you to think through this a little bit before we get into the practical application. This word parakaleo, which we have translated as encourage here, can be translated these different ways, all right? It can mean appeal. It can mean to beg. It can mean beseech. It can mean comfort. It can mean conciliate, encourage, entreat, exhort, invite, request, and urge. Now, somewhere along that list, my mind starts going like this, okay? How can one word actually mean all these various things? And that's how it's been translated in just one version of the Bible. Okay. And that's where the uniqueness of this word comes in, and I want you to sort of understand this. Because when we're told to encourage one another or exhort one another or beseech one another, there's a fallacy in translation that's called a root fallacy, where you bake a word and you break it apart, okay? And that supposedly gives you the meaning. But I'm going to go there a little bit today because I want you to understand that I think there's something we can pull from this, okay? If you take this word parakaleo, para means either alongside or to or with, various other things there, and kaleo simply means to call. That's where we get the word call from. So it's basically to call to your side or come alongside and call someone. So have that picture in your mind of what it means to be an encourager, okay? Imagine coming alongside somebody and saying, hey, I'm here for you, that you're calling them, or say that you need help and you're calling them to your side. That's the picture of what encouragement is here. And all of those words sort of derive out of that, where if I say, hey, come and help me, okay, that's beseeching. If I say, keep going, okay, that means that I'm coming alongside and helping you move forward there. Some of you have heard of the word paraclete, okay? Paraclete is the word of the comforter. And this is a noun form of one who parakaleos, okay? It's a person that comes alongside to comfort. And that's also the word that's used for the Holy Spirit. Okay? God's Spirit actually comes alongside of us and talks to us, encourages us, wants us to do better, exhorts us, or comforts us where we're at. And that's why he's called the Comforter. There's two key concepts here that I want you to get. One is, when we think of the word encouragement, we think of giving you something to make you feel better on one side. And that's where we use the word encourage. When we use the word exhort, we are saying basically step it up. You can do it. You can keep moving. Both of those concepts are in this word, where if I'm coming alongside of you, I'm sort of like that coach, okay? And if you're doing the right thing, then I should be able to come alongside of you as a coach and say, you're doing a good job. You're running hard. You're doing the right thing. Just a few more minutes or miles or whatever it is in the race, and I'm coming alongside. Or you kick the ball well. Keep it up. That's the encouragement side of it. The exhortational side of it is, as a coach, where I'm seeing you lagging or something along those lines, and I'm saying, come on, get up. You can do it. You know, step up. I know you're exhausted, but you've got it in you. We can move that last thing, and I'm getting you to move forward. Notice both of those are a personal relationship where, as a coach, I'm coming alongside and saying, you're doing well, or you need to step it up, but I'm doing it because I want you to move in the right direction, to do the right thing, or to keep doing the right thing. You've heard of Barnabas. Barnabas was one of the men in Scripture that his name actually means son of encouragement, because he was a man that actually came alongside and actually encouraged people. And in Acts 11, it says, then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart. So he came and he was excited about what he saw. And he said, good job, guys. And he started talking to him and he encouraged him. And he got the name of Barnabas. And I would suggest that that's a wonderful name to have. How many of us really do need encouragement, somebody to come alongside? But then there's also, Paul found himself in dire straits at one point. He was on a boat. This boat was breaking up in the Mediterranean. And they'd been fighting a storm for 14 days. And it says Paul exhorted everybody on the boat. He said, look, you've been without food. You've been so busy with things. He says, it's time to eat. It's time to put some good nourishment in you. We're going to crash. But if you do what I tell you to do, you'll all survive. And it says, all of them went away encouraged. And they ate. Okay, and that word for encourage is a little different one that we talked about. It's one where it's actually they felt good. They felt built up. So both of these situations, it's the same word. Barnabas coming and saying, hey, good job. Keep it up. And Paul saying, we're about ready to crash. It's been a rough go, but buckle up and we'll make it. Both of those are part of what we need in life. Now, I don't know where you're at in life, but I know every one of us needs that encouragement. Every one of us needs somebody to come alongside and say, hey, good job. Or somebody needs to come alongside and give me a figurative kick in the rear, okay? Get up. You can move. You can do what needs to be done. Because we were meant to be encouraged, and we live in a worried world where that is necessary. Because the world is not always the place that we want it to be in the circumstances that we have. I wanted to give you a little bit of a understanding of what's really going on here. Because wherever you're at, you need encouragement and you need to be the person to give encouragement. So what's actually happening when you are in this place? Well, I would like to suggest that what's happening is this, is that your value system is being called into play here. And it's your value system that is being asked to be revived so that you can attack the situation that you are dealing with. And it has to be commensurate to the price that you're being asked to pay. So think again of movies that you may have seen or other things where you have actually seen this type of thing happening, where you see, I've got a vision in my mind of a battle scene, okay, where you see a bunch of guys lined up and there's hordes coming from who knows where, okay? I don't know whether you're a fantasy fan, you know, whether it's a bunch of orcs coming from this place or just maybe it's Scotland and it's just a bunch of blue-painted guys that are coming at you or whatever. Sorry, Scott, but okay, this is all coming, and you see the men lined up there, and you see this big force coming there. Now, the general has to encourage them. He has to exhort them. What's he do? Does he say, men, remember your bank accounts, remember your video games, stand and die? Probably not. More likely what happens at this point is he calls forth those deep values that a person has, and he says something like this. He says, men, remember your families. Remember the wives that you've left behind. Remember your children and everything that they mean to you. Think of your ancestors and the price that they paid to live in this land and to give you the freedom that you have now. And this is something worth living for. This is something worth dying for. Stand fast because this is our only hope. That's exhortation. That's encouragement. Because what's happening there is he's calling forth to the values that you have and saying, these are worthwhile living for. These are worthwhile dying for. And frankly, in every situation where we have to take a choice, we are making a choice to actually give up a part of ourselves to accomplish this. In a sense, we are picking up our cross to do what God wants us to do. And so, if you are being exhorted or you're encouraging somebody else, you've got to find that point of value. That point of value that says, this is important enough for me to move. This is going to be important enough for them to move. As Christians, our values need to be rooted in something that's beyond this world. All of us have struggled, I think, with those areas in our life where we're just not motivated. Or the thing that we valued so greatly has been taken from us. And we're hurt. And we have a hard time getting up to that next level. Just even getting up out of bed sometimes. That's what depression is. Depression is when hope has been taken away. The thing that you value is no longer attainable. And you struggle with that. And we struggle. And the smarter you are, the more you realize that if you see it, it's going to go away. The scripture itself says those things which are seen are temporal. It's those things which are not seen which are eternal. And so if you put all your hope in the things which are seen, eventually it's going to go away. My son is a high school math teacher, and he actually had the principal of the school come up to him, and she asked him whether, just to consider whether they should have a men's, I can't remember the name, but something like a men's encouragement group for the high schoolers. And Nathan was sort of amazed at this. He says, it's well known in academic circles that men are underperforming girls now in academic circles. You know, we've always heard about the guys, you know, girls trying to catch up with guys. Well, that's totally not true in academic circles now. Girls make up about 60 to 70% of the college, and in high school, they're just noticing that guys are just totally unmotivated. And the reason is because they have nothing to live for. And this really does come back, in a sense, to a Father's Day message, even though I didn't plan it this way, is because as men, you need something to live for. You need something to raise your sights for. You need to have something that is worth paying the price for, because that's what we were meant for. And I need to have you to encourage me to pay that price. You know, guys in the foxhole who say, yes, it's worth the battle that we're in. The guys that are working together to get something accomplished that say, yes, it's worthwhile what you're doing. I need to be encouraged. I need to be exhorted that the price is worth it. And our society is telling everybody that the price is not worth it. There's nothing worth it. If everything's the same, then nothing is worth more than something else. And if that's the case, why don't I just take the easiest route? And there's nothing to strive for. Now, we try to make things up. We say this is worthwhile, but frankly, you are all smarter than that. You know that eventually everybody dies. You know that eventually everything is gone. And if there is nothing beyond this world, then what's really worth the pain? But Jesus said there is a world to come. And he said he came from there. And he said he paid the price so that you and I could do this. And so if I'm going to encourage you as a Christian and you're going to encourage me as a Christian, we've got to anchor these values down into something deeper, something that's eternal, something that's going to last, not something that's going to vaporize. Well, in my case, maybe in the next 15 years, if I can live that long, maybe with you it's a little bit longer. But the truth is, it's got to be in something eternal. And that's in who Jesus Christ is. And I want you to go back to that verse that we're looking at there. He says, not forsaking your assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Why is he saying that we have to encourage one another there? He says, because the day is drawing near. What does that mean when he says the day is drawing near? Well, for you and me who actually know Jesus Christ, it's not a day of judgment, because that judgment was already taken by Jesus Christ. So how does that appeal to my value system? How does it appeal to your value system? You know, there are things that when I hear that the day is drawing near, my heart starts pounding, okay? I start feeling it because I know, I feel the clock ticking. I sense that time is running out. And just that one phrase for me, because it's so connected to everything that I believe and understand to be true, tells me that the alarm is going to go off and the opportunity for so many people is going to be gone. And I've only got so much time before there's no time. And that's what it means to me. It means that Jesus Christ is coming. It means that there is going to be a day when you and I look him straight in the face. It also reminds me that the world that I live in is going to be gone. Everything you see around you is going to be gone. And only those things that are in Christ are going to last. And so why do I need this encouragement? Well, because I get distracted with other things. I want to go after things that are not really meaningful. I need you to help me draw my eyes back to those things which I value and say, this is what's important. You know, as family members, we do it all the time, where wives will say to their husbands, you know, you need to spend more time with the kids because that's more valuable. Or husbands will say to the wives, you know what? The lawn was not really that important. Okay, the kids were more important. All these things are things that we call our minds back, we focus on the things that are valuable and say, this is what's important. But I want to ask you a question here. When was the last time that you actually encouraged somebody in a spiritual way? Okay, let me go back to my original point, me sitting in front of a Bible school and me being afraid to talk about spiritual things. When was the last time that you actually came to the eternal to cause somebody to be encouraged in the temporal here? Think of it at home front, all right? Can husbands, have you said something like, honey, we need to have people over from Grace because they need encouragement. So let's put some, because this is what the Lord would want us to do. Or wives saying to their husbands something along the lines of, honey, I know money is tight, but you know there's something more important than that. And we need to be more part of the community because that's where we need to be with one another because that's what Jesus wanted. Or maybe parents talking to their kids and saying, John, why did you treat your cousin or the guy across the street that way? Because Jesus paid the price for him. He loves him. Have you actually thought about that when you interacted with him in that way? In other words, anchoring back to the eternal to cause changes in the temporal is what Jesus is asking us to do. That's where we can encourage one another. But it comes down to really asking ourselves, do I really believe that the day is drawing near? Do I really believe that Jesus is coming back? Do I believe that there's a God that paid the price for us? And if you believe that, then everything changes. But if you don't, well, then what are you anchoring your hopes in? I've used this illustration before, and I'm realizing I'm showing my age on this thing. How many of you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire? Okay, see, I'm getting past my prime here. I understand that. Okay, if you haven't seen the movie Chariots of Fire, I know you don't necessarily recommend movies from, but I would recommend the movie, all right? It's a story about two men, okay? One man is named Eric Liddell. He was a Scotsman. This was back in the early 1900s. And the other was Abraham something or other. I can't remember his last name. And they were both runners, okay? And it talks about their story. Now, Eric was raised in a Christian home up in Scotland. And he had some very strong convictions about what it meant to live as a Christian. And Abraham was a Jewish young man that was trying to break into British society, and his value system was basically to be accepted by society and break the barriers that were in the society at that point in time. And it talks about how their value systems really caused them to interact with the society around them and what they did. And there's a point in the story. Eric Liddell had a very unorthodox running style, okay? Not be taught today, all right? But somehow he was just very fast. But his sister was afraid that he was putting that ahead of his devotion to God. And so there's one scene in the movie where she calls him aside and she says, Eric, and she does it with a Scottish accent, which I'm not even going to try, but I'm hearing it in my head, where she says, Eric, are you abandoning God in your pursuit of glory? And there's a great discussion there. That is called exhortation. That is called encouragement. And she and Eric had a discussion there at that point in time about what their value systems were and how it fit out. And she gained a sense of purpose in Eric that he was not leaving behind what was important, but he was actually furthering what he was doing. And this is so important in the movie because he had a conviction that he was not going to race or play sports on a Sunday. And so he is on the boat with the team, and he's like one of the high candidates for a gold medal. So there's a lot of pressure on him at this point in time. And he finds out on the boat across the channel, because he was from Britain and the Olympics were going to be in Paris, that they changed the time for the race. And they changed it to a Sunday. Now, you've got to put this all in the context of the exhortation, the conviction, everything else that he has in this talk with his sister. And now he's on this boat, and all of a sudden he has to go to the head of the Olympic Committee for Great Britain and says, I cannot run this race because it's against my convictions of what I need to do on a Sunday. Now, this is not just like us in a small little group here saying, I'm sorry, I cannot come out and play soccer on Sunday, okay? This is national news across Great Britain. Eric Liddell will not run on Sunday. He has the Prince of Wales, in other words, the guy who's becoming king, come up to him on the boat and say, you've got to do this for national glory. And he says to the king, the future king of England, I will not do this because God is my king. Now, imagine yourself in that situation. Do you need encouragement? Do you need exhortation? What helped him have courage to stand up against, again, Great Britain was the most powerful nation in the world right at this point in time. Okay, this is before World War I, and this is the tip, you might say, before the decline. Everything is there, okay, against this guy. And yet he's standing because he's anchored in the eternal. Well, it's a great story. I won't tell you all about it. You have to go out and watch it now, all right? But he stands. And the Lord provides a way. You'll have to read the story or listen to it. But it was anchoring himself in the eternal that gave him the courage to do what he needed to do in the presence. And I would like to say that that's what we need to do with one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to say your values in the eternal are worth the price that you're paying right now for it. I have a lot more message and time is running out, so I'm just going to cut to the quick, okay, and do this. You know, you guys, you know, if I'm being formal, church, my brothers and sisters, okay, those people here who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, you are an encouragement to me because you pay a price to live for Christ. And when you see somebody else paying that price to live for Christ, you need to encourage them as well. You know, we just saw this video about C4C. Do you think that thing just comes off on its own? There are people who put a lot of work into that. They could stand a little hug and say, good job. The price that you paid was worth it. 2 weeks ago, we had a magnificent armored display up here. And I was going to say something then, and I couldn't because I ran out of time. I'll have to tell you one of my favorite verses on encouragement here in a second. But I felt, you know, we had these eight Roman shields up here. And we had eight Roman shields up here because Carol and Rebecca and David and others, you know, they put together the time and effort to do this. I felt a little bit like King David, where King David was fighting the Philistine army and the well was down in Jerusalem. And he says to the three mighty men, boy, that water sure would taste good. And these guys said, King David, sure. And they run down, they fight off the entire Philistine army to get a cup of water and they bring it back. And I felt like David said, I can't drink this. This is precious. This is precious. That's what I felt like with the armor. It's like I'd express one day, boy, it sure be nice to have eight shields. Next week I have eight shields, okay? Because there's a value that people are living for. Think of VBS that's coming up here, okay? Think of all the work that's going into VBS. Think of the people who are taking that on. Would you give them a hug for me? Would you say, good job? The price that you're paying here is worth it? The music team. Hey, just go through every one of the little things here and say, I want to be an encouragement. You know, if a person is doing a good job, put your arm around them and say, there is a God in heaven who is recognizing what you're doing, and it is a good thing. And I want to let you know that I appreciate it much. And you know what? If they're flagging, then go to 1 Corinthians 15, last verse, where it says, do not be weary in good doing good. Why? Because again, it's worth it. God has saved us, and the day is coming. Encourage one another. There's all sorts of things that we try for in this world, and they're great, okay? You win a trophy, a championship, great thing. But 20 years from now, 30 years from now, whatever it's going to be, that's going to be a trophy with dust on it. The thing that's going to last is the love that God has given us, because we are united with an eternal God that is going to go for infinity. And brother, even if you're heading back to India, it's only temporary. In two ways. First, I hope you're coming back here soon. Okay. But number two is, we're going to meet at the throne. And the times that we had together are going to be the times that last. Scott knows this is where I always have a hard time. He gives me a hard time about it. But he chokes up on the same way. Okay? See, because it's these things that are eternal that last. These are the things that are worthwhile. You and I will fail, but God will not. So, it's this simple. It's just really this simple. Talk, spiritual talk. Talk to one another and move into the spiritual. Don't be afraid. You know, you choke up. It's all right. You can say, Jesus loves you, and I'm a lousy speaker. Okay. But he really does. You can say, you know, that thing that you did, I'm not really good with compliments, but I really appreciate it. Thank you. You know, that price that you paid to get that thing done, that really spoke to me. You know, coming alongside, helping out, not just because you love me, but because you love the Lord, speaks volumes. So, just talk. Spiritual talk. Encourage one another. Get together. Hang out. And say, good job. God is coming, and he will reward. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you very much for everything you've given. I want to be an encourager. I want to help people. Lord, I want to either whether it's exhortation or whether it's encouragement, whether it's appealing or beseeching, Lord, but I want them to know the goodness of who you are and what you can do in our lives. And Lord, let us be an example of that as a church. Let us encourage one another, because we are going to spend eternity together, and that's where things really count. And let us, as husbands, Lord, be spiritual leaders. Let us break the barrier ourselves. Let us start talking about spiritual things. Lord, as men, Lord, let us take up boldly the banner which you've given us and say, there is something worth living for. And Lord, as moms and as children, Lord, let us be encouragers. Let us bind up the wounds. Let us call to mind the things that are of importance. And I pray, Lord, that this would characterize us in every way. Lord, thank you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.